Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's BudPod 64, 64-bit BudPod.
64 old monkey paw, the monkey paw twitches, and so Pierre and I log on for another week of glorious top quality chant. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm all right. My monkey's paw wish was that I would get really into overly elaborate recipes, and now look where we are.
Yes, my monkey paw wish was to have more time to myself. and not work so hard.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I also made another monkey's paw wish that there would be a coronavirus pandemic.
Oh, okay. That might be the culprit then.
What a strange wish. That monkey's paw always finds a way to make it come back on you in a bad way, doesn't it?
Of course, there's a theory that coronavirus actually began when the virus made its transmission from a monkey paw to humans for the first time. So you might have caused this in more ways than one.
Yeah, well, this is the monkey I got the paw from was eating a bat sandwich when I attacked it. So that makes sense, actually, if you look at the science.
Yes. The story of the coronavirus, I've just realized, is sort of the opposite of A Christmas Carol, where I... Having wanted to work three miles less.
The old men visit a really rich ghost?
No, it was more that I have learned the lesson of my laziness and now will learn to appreciate work more and leisure time and relationships with friends less.
So, from your point of view, you think that the coronavirus pandemic has been like, oh, you like not working and hanging out with your friends, eh? Well, what if we make you smoke the whole pack?
Yeah. And in this case, hanging out with your friends, albeit on Zoom, but of which I still am already tired of.
Yeah.
Like, I actually talk to my friends now more than I did before the pandemic, probably.
Oh, way more. Way more. I mean, I've got friends who, like old friends who I like, but the arrangement for a long time has been that we see each other two or three times a year, maybe, like at most.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like weekly stuff going on. And it's like, we weren't weekly when we were not in the apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think is the worst part about this pandemic, actually, is how up to date I am with my friends from school's lives.
Yes, it's too up to date, especially like it would be better to be this level of up to date if it was during a period of great action and change. But the irony is that we're extremely up to date when we know that none of us are doing anything.
Yes, of course. It's a self-fulfilling curse, isn't it? It's like a Twilight Zone episode. The only situation in which you finally have time to keep up with everybody is when no one's doing anything.
Yes, exactly. Like, there's no news, and the only TV channel is 24-hour news.
Yeah, yeah.
It's endless. It's so. Yeah, that's how I am. How are you?
I am. Okay, the lockdown is very much like a marathon, and you have second and third winds.
Yes.
And I think I've just received another wind. I've lost track of the winds at this point, but I have received a recent wind, which is good.
That's good.
But
how did you identify this new wind in yourself? What were the symptoms?
the whirring of my fridge has caused me to grind my teeth ever so slightly less.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's very much like everyone's getting so into where they live that it's all, every day is like a telltale heart.
Mm.
It was the whirring of his hideous fridge.
You, Pierre, you currently have a hay fever, which means you're really getting into hay.
Yes.
You've been getting into the hay craze.
There's just hay so fever, many varieties. Guys.
Everyone's got it.
You know what, Phil? I think at this point, I would search through a stack of needles for a single piece of hay.
That must be fun to be locked inside, but have a nose that thinks it's outside.
Yes, well, to be locked inside and to be so warm that you're forced to open all the windows and let in all the the jizz that your body thinks is poison.
Yeah, it's like a Greek myth.
Yeah, and I've got to the point of lockdown where I think I've just run out of wind. I think I'm hoping that today and tomorrow constitute a new wind. I've reached the point where I'm like peering out of my flat balcony window, like on my block of flats I live in, and there's a little patch of green grass that I can see right now. And as now that the lockdown is essentially unofficially over and everyone's doing whatever the fuck they want, I've become like the guy who I never see anyone litter, but litter has started to appear, and I look at the litter and I try angrily and imagine who did it.
Do you not get a sense of humanity returning though? Do you not shed a tear for a pack of Walker's crisps and just think, we're back. It's all still here. It's all still here.
Pointing at all the used condoms and chuffing bags. And you were there? And you were there? That is the most terrible dream. Yeah, exactly. Well, that kind of. But the trouble is that like I think that this is people overcompensating. Like they weren't picnicking this much when it was allowed. I think it's like that Italian mayor who released that video shouting at everyone in his village for jogging all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, and walking the dogs.
Yeah. It was like, you guys never fucking walked this much before. Why is it just now that you can't do it? It's walk o'clock. That's exactly it with picnicking, I think. I was pleased that like the litter was bad, but I thought, oh, sometimes it's just like kids, and kids have started drawing like chalk hopscotch things on pavement squares and stuff, and that's all very wholesome. Oh, okay. And then yesterday, Phil, I saw a piece of child litter, and that ruined it.
Child litter, like a light up sneaker just flashing alone in the dark. what's child litter?
It was a big turquoise birthday balloon.
Deflated?
Semi-deflated, like a ball bag.
Ah, yes. That is sad, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was dead on the lawn outside, and I thought, even the children have succumbed to sin.
God, that sounds like a fucking piece of Banksy art. That's the kind of thing simpletons would stroke their chins at.
Yes, Phil, sounds a lot like... Trying to imply that I'm Banksy there. Do you think that Banksy's visuals have become so hack that now he doesn't want to own up because it would be like embarrassing?
Well, he had to do that fucking painting stunt. Do you remember that?
With the shredder.
Yeah, which was good. That was a good little bit of work there, but it reeked of someone who realized how uncool he was becoming. He was like an old rocker who had to go electric, you know. I mean, not an old rocker, but it was like Bob Dylan trying to go electric, or whatever. But in this case, it sort of worked.
Yeah, I think it worked because it was such a fuck you. And what was funny about it was that everyone involved in the fuck you had to endorse it immediately, or they would lose all their money.
Well, what was funny about it was that because I know someone who sort of works in the auctioning sector, and the minute, so it was bought. Then the moment it was bought, the shredder started and shredded the piece about three quarters of the way. And the moment that happened, the piece increased in value by about 5 times.
Yeah, yes, and it was all so caught far on film. From.
So, I mean, far from sort of sticking it to the man, he just created a wonderful investment opportunity for a very lucky buyer in Russia, probably.
Do you think that trying to screw over and prank people of that type in the art world with that type of art is like... It's like trying to be so rude that even the Mormons go away from your front door. Like, with each attempt at repelling them, they just forgive you and try again, you know?
Right, okay, yes. I mean, yeah, I think sort of the art and culture world are very good at that. It's very difficult to spurn a sector of society who sort of want to be spurned or can find some merit and value in being spurned.
Yeah,
and
they're
sort
like
of
gimps.
Art, poetry, and music. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they like to be beat.
Yeah, the more you punch them, the more they think you're brilliant and will keep coming to your punching festivals.
Oh, I can't wait for punching festivals to come back, Pierre.
Oh, man. I can't believe they had to cancel Punchfest 2020.
Yeah. So sad. I just bought my boxing gloves.
Yeah, Speechfest was going to headline as well. That was a thing. And he never comes to the UK. He hates it. He says we punch wrong. I don't know what he means by that.
Well, in keeping with our very up-to-date satire, Pierre, yes. I'm sure you've been as excited by this week's political developments and that we can finally revisit car showrooms.
Oh, it's about time. The car showrooms are back, baby. You can go to one in Durham to test if your eyes work.
Listener, Pierre and I have already actually arranged to meet up together at a local Toyota dealership and just share a Yaris for an afternoon. Can't wait. Having them delivered just hasn't been the same.
That's the thing, isn't it? Is that so much of the first taste of food is with the eyes, you know? Mm. And it's the same with cars. If you don't see them unaccountably parked inside an enormous gym, with glass walls, it's not this. It's just, you know.
And also, seeing that the value of a new car is wiped off the second it's driven off the forecourt, you know, I don't miss that experience.
Yeah, I mean, if only
I don't want someone else to drive the value off for me.
Yeah, I mean, if only they drove the cars through a big shredder. It'd be the only way to increase the value. Are you enjoying the fact that you can go pretty soon? You'll be able to go to car showrooms and Primark, but your mum can't visit your house.
Yeah, unless my mother and I start sharing same taste in clothes.
Yes,
we are unlikely to see one another again.
I like to think that the reason Boris Johnson is so keen to allow everything except families seeing each other to happen is just because of how many secret families he has. And like ex-wives and random kids and whatever the hell else he's got. And he's like, no, for very important reasons, that is illegal still.
Well, I mean, talking about wishing on a monkey's paw, Boris Johnson must really be starting to regret wishing for an excuse not to see his children.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, how are you reacting to Dominic Cummings's insane reasoning?
Why, what's he done?
Well, you've been...
I'm kidding. I've been working on my voice acting.
That's good.
Thanks, man. How do I at first I was like, whatever. And then I noticed that it wasn't now. It was literally when the most people were dying in hospital. Yes. And also, they were sick. That that it took me a couple of hours to realize those details.
Yes, yeah, and like they were sick, and then they said, "Oh no, maybe my wife was sick," and no, then I was sick, and then in the end, neither of us were sick. And you go, "Well, what's going on then?" Oh, but then I was so sick, my eyes stopped working, so I had to drive to a castle.
Yeah,
it's like trying to figure out what happened in a playground incident from a five-year-old.
Right. Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what it's like.
It's like rambling with all these weird details, like logic that doesn't quite hold.
It's such a peculiar notion that this is likely to be the political furore of the year. And it's about someone driving up the M1. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, and also just like... Yeah, and just the fact that it's like the guy who's supposedly the genius architect of making us all follow the rules, blah, blah, blah. I mean, sexy fuck scientist was one thing, but this is a whole different escalation.
Do you think... I mean, the horny scientist is like just like... He just made science cool. That's all that happened.
The horny scientist is my favorite tarot card.
Oh no. What is it? You got the horny scientist. Well, that's good, isn't it?
Oh my god. Not when it's paired with Barnard Castle.
Why do you think this is so much of a more of a story than the horny scientist? Is it just because the horny scientist instantly resigned? Do you reckon that's it?
Yeah, I think it's because he instantly resigned, and because it was just both of their houses in London.
Right. And, right. And they weren't actually sick at the time.
And they weren't sick. It was just their houses, and it was for jizzing purposes on both their parts. So people are happier with that, generally.
Yeah.
Whereas if your story is, I was sick... But no, it was my wife that was sick. We were both sick, except that we weren't. So we drove to Durham because no one except all the people who we were related to in London could help us. But they didn't help us in Durham in the end. So we stayed, but only for a bit. And then I drove to a castle for my eyes. Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, this was the other thing I ended up thinking is does number 10 not have some kind of childcare provision? I mean... He's probably the most influential man in the country.
Yeah, and also like he's from Durham, the guy himself, but his wife is from London, and they have loads of relatives in London, and also they are rich. So,
right, but then I also find it hard to believe that he would drive all that way just to be in a nice field for a bit. Or is that literally it?
I think. Well, he's from there, remember, and he's very like pro Durham and pro like I think it's a classic case of like let's just try to get out of London for a bit. I think that's what it is.
Do you reckon it really was as prosaic as that?
Yeah, I think that he's one of those people like his entire life has been spent saying that he's like a special genius that can see the future and everyone else is an idiot worm or member of the blob.
Right, yeah.
And he writes long rambling blogs about what a genius he is and how only he can see the spider web that connects the world events. Like, he's a lunatic.
I mean, it's almost as if you shouldn't employ fucking edgelords in the highest office in the land, you know? Because he's a Reddit edgelord, fundamentally.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not fair.
And the government's surprised that he's proved to be a little more trouble than he's worth.
Yeah, and it's not fair, because in the olden days, you would at least, if the leader of the country had an insane advisor, it would at least be someone as cool as, like, Rasputin.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be this little turtle man who's addicted to driving to Durham. If Dominic Cummings had any respect, he would survive several poisoning attempts and a load of gunfire before being thrown into a frozen river.
That he then tried to claw his way out of.
Yeah.
Yes. Hello, it's me, Chung Fu, and I'm delighted to announce the reopening of Chung Fu's car showroom. That's right. I bet you didn't even know that I, Chung Fu, had a car showroom. Well, I didn't. And now I'm reopening it. because lockdown is over for cars. But I tell you what isn't over, great deals on cars. So come on down to Chong Fu's car showroom. We're in the middle of a roundabout. That's right, the actual middle bit of a roundabout. There's no underground access from a safe location. You just have to get to the middle of a gigantic roundabout. Maybe park your car in a field and then run along the perimeter of the sort of circumference of the roundabout, dodging the cars to get to us, like some sort of Parisian monument. Chong Fu's car showroom. Come check out the cars. Look at the cars. Drive the cars. Take a car. You don't have to pay for now, but the debt will be settled one way or another. Chong Fu's car showroom. Come socialize. Chat around the cars. Buy a coffee. Put the coffee on a car. Put it on the roof. Hang about. Talk to the staff. There's only one staff member. It's me, Chong Fu, and I'm pretty busy. Chong Fu's car showroom. Remember, you'll pay.
If you broke lockdown to go fuck the Queen, would that make you a patriot or a traitor?
Are you showing symptoms at the time? Well, maybe you go to have sex with the Queen to make her... Because you're so confident in her power as our monarch that she would overcome the disease and then become immune.
Yes.
Maybe that could be spun as a patriotic action.
Yes. Or if the Queen was demanding it and you were like, well, I can't refuse. She is the government.
Right, yeah.
She's the head of state. How can I say no? I got a little scroll with a wax seal.
Yes. Fuck one, she says. Fuck one. Come here and fuck one.
A booty bugle. A booty summons.
I don't think I'm going to vote for Dominic Cummings after this.
No, I don't think I will anymore. Either. Or the Queen.
Or the Queen.
Yeah.
No.
I was saying to someone the other day, do you think the Queen is like completely not bothered by this? This is my theory, is that she's not bothered by it because when you're a monarch, your mindset is inherently like the mindset of a monarch, and it's sort of inherently medieval. So when like your government advisor comes to you and says, your majesty, the peasants, they have a terrible plague, you're just like, oh yeah, yeah.
Because
that's what peasants do. They got plagues all the time. They can't keep track of these little guys.
That is true. But is it going to affect even her, right? I'm sure there's social distancing in place at the palace now, even.
Oh, like, it's not that it's not going to affect her.
Those guards have stood far apart for years.
Yes, they march away from each other, for God's sake. Like, obviously it's going to affect her, but what I mean is then, like, we're all like, what? Some kind of disease? A disease we can't control? What? Oh, no, modern science. Whereas the Queen would just be like, right, yeah, so I'm going to stay in my palace like I would do anyway, but especially now because the peasants have another plague.
That's right.
I'm going to move to a countryside palace, which is what all of my ancestors did during all the other plagues, and I've read about it.
Oh, really? Where have they gone?
Oh, during the Black Death and stuff, all the richest people and all the monarchs and stuff, they would all leave London. They would all leave the city.
Mm.
They wouldn't be like, well, I'm going to stay here where the stench of corpses is completely overpowering and the rats and dogs run wild in the streets and mobs burn things down. No, they all leave to the countryside and isolate themselves. Like they've always known that that's better than going and licking the butcher's face or whatever. They didn't need medical science to tell them that. I just think that she's inherently like, oh, my great-great-great-great-grand-uncle also had to isolate himself from dirty peasants, so I guess we'll just follow the household plan.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. It's unless like they already have a vaccine. They probably already have a vaccine.
Phil David Icke Wang.
They tested them on lizards, and the lizards all survived, so... They work, so they have got vaccines now.
The royal family are the bats. That's something that would be interesting to try and convince people that David Icke only wants you to believe the royal family are secretly lizards to distract from the fact that he's secretly a fly. Or like a rival species of some kind.
Right. I mean, that's a confusing conspiracy theory even for David Icke.
But that's how it would beat him, you know? It's always about, you got to add a layer.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That was his genius. He took the whole Illuminati thing and he went, "You know what? I'm adding lizards onto the top of this cake."
I've always wondered about people who are that crazy. I always like to picture them just waking up in the morning and getting dressed and having a shower. You know what I mean? Or just going to the shops, because they still have to eat. It's like, the royal family are actually lizards. 30% off tortellini, you know.
Yeah, are they crazy in their spare time? That's a good question.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they take a day off?
Like crazy street preachers. They're always very well dressed, and I love thinking about them putting their tie on in the morning, looking in the mirror, just, "Let that door, he's coming back, whoop-a-pa, we'll all be dead, da-da-da-da-da, ooh, bit tight today, I'll redo that one, da-da-da, we'll all be judged, da-da-da-da, sinners will go to hell."
And like, on the train in to start screaming at people in Leicester Square in central London, they're just on the train doing like vocal warm-ups, like, "Ha, you're going to hell, going to hell."
I wonder what they've been doing in lockdown. Yeah. Who they've been preaching to?
How do they keep a
Zoom? Shape? Have they been doing Zoom calls to just random people?
That anytime there's an open Zoom meeting, they're just there going like, "Well, I've got to go where the people are." And this planning committee meeting is wide open. Yeah, I wonder. Maybe just tweets, just spamming tweets at people.
Have you watched anything good recently?
I have been entirely consumed by Warzone. I rewatched a couple of classic episodes of Arrested Development, but I have just become... I think now I'm more familiar with the city of Verdansk than I am with my own hometown.
Where is Verdansk?
Verdansk is the fictional city in which Warzone takes place.
Oh, I'm going to sound real to me. I could have sworn Verdansk was a real place. It's all in one city.
Yeah, it's like a GTA map that gradually shrinks.
Oh.
So there's like an airport and some hills and suburbs.
And the map is always the same.
Yeah, always the same. Yeah, but the where the circle shrinks to is not always the same.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's massive. It's like. I think it's 2 or 3 square kilometers, maybe more.
That's pretty good. And you can go inside buildings and stuff?
Actually, no, what am I saying? That would be it would be like 8 or 10 square kilometers. I'm not doing math. Oh, yeah, you can go inside buildings, smash windows, all kinds of mad shit. There's cars you can drive around, buggies.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's very addictive. And it's addictive because it's sort of sociable. So I've been playing it like with people and like old school friends and things. So it's useful because you don't have to just sit and go, "Oh, do you still have hair?" And they go, "Yeah, do you?" And you go, "Yeah." It's a lot more engaging because you and your old school friends are instead discussing the precise way to breach and clear a particular building with grenades. And that's, you know, that's a conversation starter.
Just like in the old days. Just like at school.
Just like at school. Exactly. And I do have to say, one of the funniest things that they've done on Call of Duty now is... I'm not on a PlayStation or whatever, but on from my understanding, basically everyone who buys the game, it comes with a little headset thing, right? So like pretty much everyone's mic'd up. And the mic... picks you up when you speak. Like, you don't have to press a talk button. It just broadcasts when it senses sound coming out of your mouth. And when you kill someone, you get like a 1 or 2 second burst of their microphone.
Oh, wow.
So...
Well, just you specifically, just you.
Yeah, if you're the one who killed them, yeah. So, if
and what
you
sort
like,
of things do people say?
Sometimes it's just screaming.
Sometimes very accurate, very realistic.
It's really funny. But sometimes, yeah, you'll kill someone and like you'll shoot their character to death and there'll be like an 11-year-old and you'll just hear an 11-year-old going, ah! And sometimes you just That's hear great. Like a burst of really like angry Russian swearing.
What do you play it on?
Huh? I'm on PC, but my flatmate's on his PS4. So, but it's all compatible. You play with each other.
Wow, that's crackers.
Yeah, it's nuts. So, yeah, you just snipe someone, and then you just hear like it's all the more funny for how suddenly it cuts off. You just hear someone go, "Oh, yeah, что сука блядь!" It's like suddenly screamed at by a Russian man, and then he's gone. He's deleted.
What sort of thing do you say when you're killed?
Well, I'm on PC, so it won't pick it up automatically.
But well done! Just like that. Congratulations! Well played!
Tell my pappy to take care of the farm.
That'd be really funny. Mostly, if you managed to say something sort of very earnest and realistic every time you got killed, if you could remember to.
Yes. Or really sarcastic, so they kill me and they just get a burst of, ooh! That would be quite funny. Yeah. Just, oh, nice gun. Yeah, good one. Yeah, thanks. Just really passive-aggressive. Oh,
cheers. Really enjoyed that. Thanks a lot. Yeah, lovely.
I think mostly what I end up saying is, oh, just generally. Like,
oh. Yeah, that's very much you.
Yeah, just oh, come on.
What sort of class or character are you? Are you an orc?
It's Call of Duty style, so you just pick your type of weapon and go nuts. Assault rifles, submachine gun, sniper, that kind of thing.
What do you favor?
You gotta have an assault rifle, and you might have a sniper rifle as a backup because the map's so big, you can get shot. If it's someone good, you can get shot from like 600 meters away or whatever, if they're really good.
Mm.
So that is extremely annoying when it happens to you and extremely funny when you do it to other people. Like a lot of bullying.
Man, that does sound tempting, but I'm going to resist.
You've never been much of a first-person shooter boy, though.
Not really. I like it for sort of story-based things because they're more immersive. So like an Elder Scrolls game or Half-Life. But yeah, multiplayer, not really. I just don't find it all that fun. I find it stressful and scary and relentless.
Yes,
but I've enjoyed them in the past. Just currently, I'm not really.
I still remember being amazed at your incredible force of will when you bought and downloaded Battlefield 1, played through the campaign, and then deleted it.
It's not very good either.
The campaign was the weakest element of it. But that was as amazing to me as when an alcoholic sees someone pour a half finished beer that's got a bit too warm down the sink.
Well, because I don't actually I don't have the subscription to PlayStation Online, so I don't think I actually can play online unless I take out another rolling direct debit, and I have enough direct debits.
Yes, Donkey Sanctuaries,
mm-hmm, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So many of those.
How are you coping? We're both from hot countries, and we don't like it being hot. How are you coping with the heat?
It's not got too bad, I find. But this is how lazy I am. Even in the summer, I'm too lazy to take the duvet out of the duvet cover. So I just lie under the full duvet.
No.
Yeah, I just try and fix the elements around me. So I open the window, turn on the fan, and just hope it's cool enough to be under a full duvet.
Do you not just wake up like the Crypt Keeper, just removed of all moisture?
Sometimes.
Oh God! Why don't you even? I mean, I'm a lazy old boy, but even I've managed to take the duvet out for sheer hydration purposes. Otherwise, I would just wake up like a raisin, like a horrible raisin boy.
Yeah, I mean, I will. I think it's just finding a place to fucking put it. The duvets take up a lot of space.
Yes, that's true. I'm lucky enough to have a place to shove mine. But are you not like so dehydrated in the mornings after that, that when you do a pee, it's just like a solid pencil of just yellow? Like it's not even a liquid anymore. It's just like a little, it's like the inanimate carbon rod from The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's pretty dark stuff. But I don't mind so far. Yeah, it's been okay. I think I'm getting a little, I think I don't mind the heat so much anymore. It's quite nice to wear shorts in the house. That's what I've been doing.
Yes, I love a short. I've been a shorts boy for weeks now, and I'm worried about when I have to put jeans back on again, how trapped and clammy I'll feel. I don't think I'll fit my jeans very well. I think I've been reckless.
Yeah, I try not to catch myself in the mirror when I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt, because I look like I should be on a boat with the kind of clothes I have. I look like an annoying character from Succession when I wear shorts and a t-shirt. I don't know why. I don't know how I managed to look so preppy.
It depends on the shorts I'm wearing. I think my clothing today meant that someone yelled something at me from a van.
Someone yelled something to you from a van?
Yeah, well, they didn't yell it, but they did like definitely address me directly and ask a sort of from that. I couldn't quite make out what they said because they had some sort of accent and there was a lot of traffic noise going on. But they definitely addressed me directly and asked a sort of a humorous question, you know, like a kind of banterous inquiry.
Right. Right. Like, hey, do you know any good leg shops around here? It seems like you do, seeing as how you've got your legs on display there.
Yeah, exactly. It was exactly that kind of tone of humor genius.
What's the matter, Hart? He's like in a full parka. What's wrong? You're warm.
Hey, cool guy. Are you feeling cool, temperature-wise, I mean? Yeah, it was that kind of classic Bents, but I wish I could have made it out, because I thought before I left the house, I've made a weird combo here, because I've got like black shorts on, like you know, like athletic/casual wear shorts.
Okay.
Like the kind of shorts that you could also wear while jogging on a treadmill.
Yep.
But here's the thing, Phil, and a black t-shirt. So I'm an all black boy in brown sandals.
Okay, so you're absorbing a lot of radiation up top and then dispersing the heat through your head and shins.
Yeah, I guess so. And I thought I looked like a beach referee.
Right, okay.
Or
You look like you could be sat on a very high chair on a beach.
Yeah, or like a very warm mourner.
You look like a heavy metal fan at a friend's funeral.
Yes, or like a heavy metal fan who has to nevertheless admit that he does live in Hawaii.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I wanted to know what the guy said, because I was interested to see, aside from being a bit like, oh, don't, you know, yell things at me from a van, I also wanted to know, like, oh, has he picked up on something I thought before I left the house?
You're such an odd target for van shouting.
Yeah. I think
you don't look like someone who would be fun, who it would be fun to harass, really.
But maybe I'm wrong about the whole looking like a referee thing or a funeral man. Maybe it's just like I've got quite a big beard at the moment, and maybe that was enough of like, hey, nice beard or whatever. Because there's a certain type of person for whom even having a beard is enough of an unacceptable eccentricity that you must be cut down. The man didn't come across as though he was particularly tolerant of differences in appearance in life.
Right. Okay. So he's like a shaved face activist or something.
Yeah, well,
did he work for Gillette?
It's the new very direct marketing campaign. It's called Bully Away the Beard. And they're just trying to see if maybe with bullying, harnessing the power of bullying for the Razer community. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I wonder. Yeah, but like it was the guys were driving this van and they seemed like kind of I would say their vibe, the best way I can explain it to you as someone who also knows like audience vibes, they were like a kind of young but not that young, like late 20s, early 30s sort of Essex guy on a night out appearance.
Oh, okay. And when you say they had an accent, it was like an Essex accent?
Well, no, that's just how they looked. They just, their accent, whatever it was, like, you know, sometimes you get like a regional
accent. So close-fitting button-up shirts?
Yes, yes, yes. Polo shirts, both of them. Pink and light green.
Oh, polo shirts. Yep, yep, yep. So some sort of Fred Perry going on.
Yeah. It's one of those accents where you go, well, either you're just really Essex or, I don't know, you're fucking Dutch? I haven't got a clue. When it's just like a burst of kind of semi-slurred speech, you're like, what? What?
Yeah, when the part of England you're from is so far southeast, you are in Holland.
You're actually just a Dutch fisherman who got lost. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You and your boat full of mussels have been accepted into the Braintree Essex community. But yes, it's a rare pleasure for me, Phil, to be yelled at from a van. I would say it happens, I don't know, once a year, maybe.
Really?
It doesn't never happen.
I don't think I've ever received something from a van that wasn't a delivery. Yeah, I don't think so.
You never had a drive-by yelling?
I've had a drive-by laughing from a van driver as I tried to parallel park a moving van on my own.
That's
he
very
got a real
of
kick
them.
Out of that. Yeah. You know how sort of generous of spirit the professional driving community are, whether they're taxi drivers or delivery people. They're very eager to share the road, aren't they?
Yes, it's quite funny, isn't it, that they're like they're almost always coming across as. Or portrayed as sort of mean-spirited racists until it's time to give a free lift to an old man with medals on his chest on Poppy Day.
Yeah.
It's always that kind of headline that's positive about them. Them offering free journeys to someone in some kind of semi-crisis.
Yeah, they load up goodwill and then slowly spend it over the year. And load up again. Like camels.
Yes. Goodwill camels the rest of the time spitting in everyone's face.
Goodwill Camel, of course, a very strange sequel to Goodwill Hunting.
it was like the sequel to the
camel who's really good at maths, but no one in the Sahara appreciates it.
How do you like these camels? That was one of the lines. You like camels? How do you like these camels?
That's funny.
Yeah, well, it's the sequel. It was by the same people who made that sequel to the Sex and the City movie, where they go to a sort of vaguely Middle Eastern place and teach them the value of sass.
Yeah, they go to Dubai. I think there's a great uplifting moment when all the sort of burqa-clad local women take off their coverings to reveal they too have sort of Gucci handbags and fashion-y tops, and it just goes to show that underneath it all, we're all really the same. We're no matter what religion or culture we adhere to, we're all sort of slave to a sort of a capitalistic obsession with looks and material attainment. It's a very touching moment, apparently.
It's funny that you would need a whole film to illustrate to someone that people are materialistic in Dubai. I can't believe a series of golden skyscrapers built by slaves in the desert. would be so similar to our own lust for gold.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sweaty, sweaty knees, sweaty knees, sweaty, sweaty knees, sweaty, oh yes, my knees are sweaty, oh, running down the back of my calf, yes, sweaty knees, they're a problem when I sit on my chair by the window and look at the kids leaving litter. I'm gonna go down there, give them a kicking with my increasingly sweaty knees. Can you kick with a knee, or is it a kneeing? Which part of the knee is the knee? How much sweat will it take for me to lose my mind and dab my shins with a towel? Yeah! It's too warm. Oh, festive. What would you say, Phil, is, aside from North Korea, is like the most cartoonishly evil place?
Aside from North Korea?
Yeah.
Oh, ever heard of the UK, Pierre? let me just think.
Phil, I didn't know you were a columnist now.
like in terms of like sort of vaguely functioning countries.
Well, just anywhere really. For me, what springs to mind is the fact that
Iran, Saudi Arabia. It must be Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I was thinking, because Saudi Arabia always it always seems bad. Even before you look into it, and then when you look into it, it becomes weird. Like the fact that they actually kill people who they legally refer to as wizards and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you were the one country lucky enough to have wizards, and you only go and bloody kill them.
Yeah, why would you do that?
You've got wizards.
Who needs nuclear warheads when you've got fucking Gandalf?
Yeah, exactly. If you found Harry Potter, and your first instinct is to chop off his head. You see him doing magic and you think, well, we can't be having this.
Other evil places,
which is sort of, but specifically cartoonishly, because there's loads of places that have like low level boring like administrative evil, but it's the idea of going, well, we've got to have a big sword for killing the wizards. What the fuck are you talking about? It's so like, it seems like a slur. It seems like someone's made it up to discredit them.
Right. Gosh. I mean, that many places, I want to say sort of on a recording that they might hear because I yep. might want to go there in the future for maybe personal or heritage reasons. I'm not going to say which countries those might be.
Well, the thing is, listeners, is the main thing is that once we come out of lockdown, Phil's going to do a tour of Pyongyang and and just every major city in Iran. So it's wise of him not to.
My professional model has always been to be the Dennis Rodman of comedy.
I would love it if, like, Yeah, some crazy dictator got so into Bud Pod that they just demanded that you come and talk to them about shit. And
well, I mean, there's stories. I used to go to school in Brunei, and which has a sultan, and apparently, I didn't know about that at the time, but there's an island, he has a resort island that has to be ready for him to visit at any time. They don't get any warning as to when he might get go there. But if he decides on a whim to go, there has to be entertainment, a food, a harem ready and waiting. So oh, wow. You can get a gig where you're like a comedian or musician or whatever, and you just have to go, and you paid thousands and thousands of pounds just to be on the island and ready to go for like a month or 2 weeks or whatever. Oh, and there's every chance he will never turn up and you never actually perform.
Oh, but the dream.
I guess, but I mean, there's the dream until he turns up and you're faced with one of the tougher gigs of your career, probably.
Yeah, it would be strange if he turned out to be just like a really great crowd on his own. Like really open to a bit of experimental comedy, you know, high concept stuff.
Yeah. The brief is like, so the Sultan, he really likes sort of Andy Kaufman and sort of Adult Swim shorts. So if you could, if you can replicate those in the Grand Hall, those would be, that'd be really appreciated. I think they'd go down well.
Yeah, the last resident comedian the Sultan wanted was Limmy. It was Limmy.
Yeah. Tim and Eric, they were given a bonus harem. They went down so well.
On the condition that they cast them in something weird. Oh my God. Yeah, that would be a terrifying gig.
I finally watched over the weekend Normal People.
Oh, you finally got into Normal People.
Normal People, which is it's sort of how would you describe it? Irish achievement porn and also Irish actual porn.
Okay.
You know, it's about two Irish kids who do very well at school but then also get to fuck loads, which is but that's not the most unrealistic aspect. The most unrealistic aspect is that you can see behind them in various shots when they're at school and later on at the university that they definitely have one or two East Asian classmates who are somehow not top of the class. And it was at those moments that I have to say I turned off a little from Sally Rooney's epic.
Well, okay. Now, here I have a question, Phil, because what subjects were these classes?
Now, yes, I mean, this is the crucial caveat in that they both excel at, well, I mean, Connell, the male figure, he excels at English, and I think Marianne, she does well at history and like politics and PPE or something like this.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue the Asian kids would not be the top of those classes. They're in the class, though, aren't they?
That's true.
It's still exams. I don't think it would make that much difference.
That's true. Once they've decided they want to do it, / their parents have made them.
Yeah. Yeah. So you might have a case in the school scenes, like, oh, they're having to take these classes against their choice. But there are definitely a couple in their university supervision groups. And you go, okay, well, they've decided to do the history of politics, so they're going to be the best. And then, no, it's still Marianne who gets the grant. I don't think so.
Maybe that's
I think Sally Rooney can now enjoy a strong position among our great fantasy writers. She's the Tolkien of our time.
What would you? How quickly would you have written a letter of complaint if she had portrayed, for example, an all female non Asian white engineering lecture?
Yeah, I mean that. That would not have reflected my time at university, certainly.
I remember meeting one of the few female engineering students, and it was like meeting someone who had been surviving the Hunger Games this whole time.
Well, it's funny you bring it up, because the head of our year at Cambridge of engineering was a Chinese girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, obviously.
Would you accept something? There's something. Yeah, maybe that's just like the way the education system works in Ireland. Like this, those kids are in there with a handicap.
Right. Yeah, I've tweeted about this, and I've got some pretty funny replies from Irish people.
Oh yeah.
Who I think are maybe a little disillusioned with the Irish educational system.
Right,
and think it is in such a state of despair that even the Asian kids are brought down, which I thought was pretty funny. I mean, I can neither agree nor disagree with these people, as I come from a position of ignorance with regards to the Irish educational system, but they're still funny responses.
It's really hard to judge anything about Ireland, I find, because all the Irish people who move to London are like hyper liberal, extremely educated, and often very funny, like yes. Working in comedy as well. So you just get the impression that Ireland is like this futuristic super society where the arts are sacred and everyone is having a lovely time.
Yeah, it sort of epitomizes that category of country where people from the country criticize it to shit. But if you're not from the country, you are not allowed to degrade it in any way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're very protective about their unique right to talk down their country.
Yes. Well,
especially if they're talking to an English person, which historically speaking is understandable.
Yeah. Well, it's like people from the UK with the NHS, when the Americans were like, everyone who uses the NHS dies instantly. And everyone in the UK was like, how dare you say something mad like we've been saying? Phil, I think that's pretty much the pod, really. We've managed to cover a wide range of satirical territory.
It's been a real satire pod.
Yeah.
Watch out, John Oliver. Here's a deep dive. I'll give you a run for your money.
Yeah, you think you've cornered the market in powerlessly arch highbrow satire? Well.
Oh, you can do 8 minutes on one topic? Well, have a look at 54 minutes on loads.
Yes, exactly.
How about that?
Yeah, and only people with degrees listen to us too. Luckily, that's not true, for us at least. I mean, I think John Oliver's kind of hamstrung by his level of appeal, but I think we have got a very wide cross-section of noble and handsome listeners.
I think John Oliver has maybe now suffered from the loss of his unique position as an exasperated person. I think
yes,
exasperation is now such a common feature of everyday life that it is no novelty to watch a man exasperated at the news anymore.
Yes, it's if anything, it's very, very bland observational comedy. Oh god. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, so no, I guess no correspondence this week, but
we'll seeing do as how
we're
all,
we're so on top of it that we had an episode to spare without touching it, I guess.
It's true. We'll get back to it next week. Let's do that, because there's always so much and it's always so very, very fine.
Fine stuff. Absolutely fine. Have everyone enjoy another week. Drive safely.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Endanger your families to check your eyesight for no reason. Please enjoy.
Yep. Maybe at a gun range or something.
Yes. If you want to check if you've lost your sense of taste or smell, just pour boiling water into your mouth.
And please remember to petition BBC Three for more accurate portrayals of East Asian students.
Yes, yes. Phil will be tweeting out a petition for that. And if you could just retweet it, that would be great. That would be very useful.
Yeah, I'll be using the website 38 Degrees, which is named after the number of degrees the average Chinese parent expects from their firstborn.
Yes, exactly. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.